So if you missed last week or you didn't see our e-newsletter email, we've been talking a little bit. We started last week talking about our core values. And I said, and I just want to kind of catch everybody else up just briefly, is our core values are a lot like DNA. They're a part of us. They're not a list that we make up and say, hey, we want to be like this, or we're gonna aim and we're going to be a whole new direction, a whole new church, and we're going to act like this now. Now, core values have existed in this organization for years, and all we're doing now is surfacing them so that we can talk about them and then own them. And so, like DNA, we should want to be something that we already are. I mean, we don't want to be something we're not. Doesn't make sense. We should embrace the best part of who we are. And it reminds me of a cartoon I used to watch as a kid. And back in those days, some of you might remember Saturday morning cartoons. That was the only time you got cartoons back in the 70s and earlier. And, you know, where was Cartoon Network when I was growing up, right? But this cartoon, some of you might have remembered this, is this guy. His name is Tudor Turtle. Good. Rob acknowledges I'm not alone in this. Everybody else is looking at us like we're crazy, Rob. Mark Evershank at First Service was like that too. So there's a couple of us guys that remember Tudor Turtle. And Tudor was never happy with himself. He always wanted to be something else. And he'd go to Mr. Wizard the Lizard, who lived in a cardboard box at the base of a tree, and he'd say to him, hey, Mr. Wizard, I got a favor to ask. And he'd shrink him down so he could come in the cardboard box, and then he'd make this appeal to say, I want to be an explorer, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a race car driver, I mean, on and on and on. And so every week, he'd be something else, and he'd get zapped into that job or that time frame. Sometimes it was back in time as an explorer, and he'd have his adventure, and because it makes a good story, he'd always get into trouble. And somewhere near the end of the cartoon, he'd cry out, Mr. Wizard, save me. I don't want to be whatever anymore. And you'd hear the voice of Mr. Wizard say, twizzle, twazzle, twazzle, twom, time for this one to come home. And so he'd bring him back to the cardboard box. And then Mr. Wizard would once again teach him and remind him of this very line, be just what you is and not what you is not. Folks, what do this has the happiest lot. Now, if you're a grammarian, please, I did not write that. That's from the cartoon. But it's a reminder that we got to be who we are. We can't be something we're not. And we should embrace the best of who we are as a congregation and as a faith community. And I think that's what we're talking about. And in these core values for the next few weeks, the thing that holds it all together is one kind of common thing based on the great commandment of Jesus. And you remember this banner from last year, that every core value we have reflects the fact that we love God and love people. And in loving God and loving people as Christians, we end up sharing Jesus as a part of that. And if we miss that last piece, then we need to work on how do we share Jesus in how we love others and love God. So this is just a reflection of the things that you shared with me. And last week we talked just a touch about worship and fellowship, the fact that we gather here on Sundays to draw close to God, but also that in the fellowship that we draw close to one another, because fellowship is all about how we invest in each other and participate in each other's lives. It's not just, hey, how you doing? It's we're putting something in to get something out, that we're in this together. And ultimately, when it comes to worship and fellowship, we can't phone it in, we can't text it in, we can't Facebook it in. There is value in being together. And when folks cannot be with us for any number of reasons, we are diminished because of that, and then we try to reach out to them to let them know that they are not alone for whatever they are going through. So that's just kind of a recap. If you want to listen to the sermon, it's online, and catch up if you want, but we need to move on to what we're talking about today. Hospitality to all. Your words. Now, when I say this, it might seem like a warm fuzzy, right? It might seem like, oh, this is easy. This is a sermon we can take a nap in, and we can eat fortune cookies and eat M&Ms because this is all about love. We'll just hold hands. We'll sing kumbaya. We're out of here. It'll be good. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you. Hospitality to all is the most precarious value that we could have. Matter of fact, I will tell you that this is the most controversial sermon I will preach in our core values. But once again, I want to remind you, these are the words that when I solicited feedback of who we are, were the words, excuse me, provided to me. So you might be thinking, well, how can that be? You just love people, right? It's simple. Got it. No problem. Hospitality is controversial. And here's why it is controversial. It's either all or nothing. Period. Either all are welcome or they're not. It's just that easy. Either everyone is welcome here or we're nothing more than a country club without a golf course. And that's the decision we have to make. But we've already said this is a value of who we are. But I just want us to be sure we know what we're getting into. And remember, hospitality is not about how we treat each other. That's fellowship. We talked about that last week. That's a different value. This is about how we treat others. Here's the biblical definition of hospitality. To receive and show hospitality to a stranger, that is, someone who is not regarded as a member of the extended family, us, or a close friend. To receive a stranger as a guest. That's hospitality. When we talk about how we treat each other, that's fellowship, and that's a different issue altogether. Now, let me simplify that. For those who are self-identified as introverts, as my wife and I are, this might be a simpler definition. Hospitality is making your guests feel at home even though you wish they were. See? She totally gets it, right? We're going to hang that over the mantle of our house, you know? But that's what it's about. How do we engage people who are not a part of this community? How do we treat those who come here? Now, it's one thing to say, well, we open the doors about 8, maybe a few minutes after, depending on when we get here, and the doors are wide open. They're open right now. And anybody who wants to wander in here are more than welcome to come and be here. But it's quite a different issue to make someone feel like they're not a stranger among us. Now, in my world, I like things electronic, and I scan things, and I get rid of paper. But it's occasional that I save a piece of paper. Now, this piece of paper here is 16 years old, and I think I might have shared parts of this before. I don't remember. But I'm going to read you this letter that the pastors of the church I served once received. Like I said, this is 16 years old. Dear Community Lutheran Church pastors, about 4 years ago, my children and myself went through some difficult struggles, which left us with emotional and financial struggles, but worse, that we were left with spiritual struggles. In the last few months, I tried your church 4 times. The reason we decided to try your church was because I had worked for a lady who worships with you. I also worked with a truck driver who worships with you. They both had recommended your church. I am sorry to say that each time we went to your service, we left feeling empty and disheartened. Last Saturday night when we went, I figured out why. First, let me add, we enjoyed every sermon. You have a close-knit church family. They not only greet each other, but they talk with each other just as a family should. But if you're not a part of the family, you feel left out. No one spoke to us except during the sharing of the peace, the greeting. And I felt like we were on the outside looking through the window. We felt like no one even knew we were there. This isn't what my children remember about church, nor is it how I want them to think. Now, granted, we don't have dress clothes. We may have looked like we were going to a ball game, but we were clean and we were hungry for God's word. I mentioned we are struggling spiritually, and we have strayed from where we once were and where we want to be. We know we need help in this, and we need to find a fold where we can feel love and comfort and to grow in Christ. please remind your congregation that if there is one stranger to them, there's at least 50 strangers to that one. We are all God's children, and we all at times need spiritual guidance and love. It isn't easy for most people to knock at someone else's doors. Please don't think of me as rude. I just wanted to share an outsider's feelings. So actual letter, actual response. I have them both. And I'm just going to tell you, when I think about hospitality, that letter always hits me. I mean, I've held on to it. I'm going to hold on to it probably forever. And I just want to tell you that I never want to receive a letter like that again. That's why that weighs on me. That's why hospitality matters. Someone might not know the love of Jesus because we didn't take the opportunity to make them feel at home. And here's the other thing about that, is strangers, by definition, its root word is strange. Now, I'll just be honest with you. We're all a little strange. Yeah? Yeah. See, she's shaking her head, yes. We all have things that we wouldn't necessarily want to share publicly. You know, maybe one or two people know, but I don't want people to know this part of my life, or I don't want them to know of this habit or that habit or this. We all are a little goofy. And so to have somebody come in from the outside is just to kind of join with us in being strange together. I mean, that's just kind of how life is. But yet, when we see someone who is different, we all kind of revert to grade school and just kind of point out the one who doesn't belong and one who doesn't fit, the one who doesn't seem, in quotes, ordinary. But here's what I want to tell you. At the core of every person is someone who wants to be loved and accepted by others. And if they come here to Bethel, they also want to know that there is a God who loves them. So it's not only a core value for us, but it is also an instruction of Jesus to show love and to treat them like they were already a part of the family. But the obstacle is this. We got to get over the external stuff. To get beyond the cover of someone's book, to get into the pages of their life. And among many churches across the country, I mean, many churches, here's the issue. Their concern among many churches is that one person's story will become everyone's story. And it doesn't make any difference what that story is. I mean, for different people in different churches, it's different things. But the worry is this one person's story will overwhelm everyone else's story. And it'll have to become our story too. And yet, it's funny, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about this very concern. And you heard Angela read it earlier. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So what Paul, who wrote this, was saying to this church in Galatia, he's like, don't worry about classifications. Don't worry about differences. Don't worry about false dichotomies. Don't worry about the things that kind of stick out and seem not ordinary to you, but maybe ordinary to them. Don't worry about their sin because you're a sinner too. Don't worry about all of these things that we use to judge people because they all get washed away in baptism. All those things that we set up barriers and walls and things we think are odd or different or we don't even agree with all get washed away in baptism. The only thing that remains is unity. But yet we do. We get hung up on categories and labels, and then we title the cover of someone's book, even though that label doesn't even describe the entirety of who they are. It is Jesus in baptism who removes the cover of all our books and gives us a new one. So sometimes we need to go beyond our comfort zone to treat someone like family. For example, Henry Nouwen is a great spiritual author and a writer. And he was going to a retreat at a monastery. And while he was on his way, it was a storm. He got delayed. It was miserable. He finally got there late in the night. He knocked on the door of the monastery, rain soaked, all this kind of stuff. And a brother of the monastery opens the door and welcomes him in, takes his coat off, hangs it up, takes him into the refectory, which is the kitchen, makes him a cup of tea, and they're sitting there while he warms up, dries off, and they're just talking about life. When he finally starts to relax, Henry, now he realizes, wait a minute, I'm here for this retreat, which is a silent retreat, because it's at a monastery where they have taken a vow of silence. And yet he's sitting here, John, with a brother who's taken a vow of silence. And he finally goes, well, why are you willing to sit here and talk with me? And the monk replied, of all the duties of the Christian faith and the rules of my order, none is higher than hospitality. So he broke a vow in order to lift up something greater, to make a stranger feel welcome. Think about that. Sometimes we have to break something to lift up something that's even better. Now, in Paul's time, you see all the differences that were important to them, Jew and Greek, male and female, slave nor free. Now, maybe some of those don't apply to us anymore. I mean, for us, it's not about Jew or Greek, but it's certainly there's certainly racial issues in this country. We saw that time and time again with the violence in Charleston last year and other places, Ferguson, Missouri, other things. We see we're still fighting for equality in pay between male and female. So there's still an issue there. Maybe not slave nor free in this country. But you know the categories. Married, divorced. Married, single. Why is that person still single? Couples with children and couples without children. Why don't they have children? Ethnic diversity. White and fill in the blank. You can see where the places that we just kind of throw up these things just kind of out of habit. And then we haven't even touched the hot button issues, right? Oh, straight, gay. You don't need to go on. But I think you get the point. And the point is not to come up with as many of these things as we can. The point is that within the church, all of that gets washed away and we're just children of God. Hospitality is all about looking beyond the categories and divisions to see the person that God sees, a child looking for their heavenly Father's love and the love of brothers and sisters they didn't even know they had. So it's not about categories. It's about love. So we can't let small things get in the way. We can't even let sin get in the way because we're even sinners. Of getting in the way of God's plan of loving the world. There's no agenda here. Well, except that. There's the agenda. Jesus says, as I have loved you, love one another. Now look at that carefully. There is no asterisk after another. There's no fine print. There isn't kind of this contract that comes below that defines who another is. I mean, let me just ask a rhetorical question here. What if the word got out in the community that this place is the safest place in Cupertino to bring your hurts and your troubles and your disappointments? What would happen if the word got out? I think that would be something that would make God smile. And I know we've been cultivating llama-ness for a while here, which is totally awesome. We're going to do it in our takeout church boxes. But I want to add some fruit to that. I want to add one more thing. We're going to add pineapples. Right? Let's add some pineapples. By the way, we have no idea in our house how to cut pineapple. We don't even know if this stuff is ripe or not. So what I'm going to tell you is, whoever is a pineapple aficionado, it is yours for the taking. Not yet. But let's add pineapples in. Llamas are good, but pineapples are good too, and here's why. Over 100 years ago, before there were cars and airplanes, even before trains, great ships traveled the seas. And when great sea captains had come back from exotic places like South America, they'd usually bring something like a pineapple home, and they wouldn't keep it in the house. They'd put it on the front gate. And there were two reasons why the sea captain did that. First, no one's ever seen a pineapple, so that was kind of unique. But it was also a reminder to say, this captain is back from an exotic place, and he was ready to visit with his friends. So back then, if you saw a pineapple on someone's front gate, it meant, welcome, come visit at my house. And so today, if you didn't know it, in the South especially, the pineapple is a sign of hospitality and door knockers and floor mats and all sorts of different things. So if you ever see pineapples out and about in places, it's all about hospitality. See, the deal is, if we can welcome the stranger, it is a reminder that they are welcome here. And not only just welcome, but they can become and be a part of the thing that we have found in Christ, that we are one in Christ, we are God's children, we're always looking for one more. We're no longer slaves. We're his kids. We need more kids. Amen.
Let's sing Everyone Needs a Little.
Turn it all around, and love is the greatest of these. Everyone.